You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard. We're coming alive. From the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. It is the DA Show on this Target Demo Friday. Sports are back, baby. The NBA was back last night. We got six games today. Major League Baseball's playing. The hockey fan, guess what? We got Stanley Cup playoffs starting tomorrow at noon Eastern. That's right, 28 hours away from the puck dropping. Bogus is here with me. It's Miraz. The summer at DA continues. Woo! Here we are. Happy Friday, Bogus. Good morning to you.
Well, aren't you all of a sudden giddy for hour number three of this fine show this morning? Last commercial break?
If you guys haven't noticed, this week, Pippilotti has been running some new plays. You know, he has. He's been trying to get inside and go, okay, we're Sean McVay and the Rams. The league's catching up to us. What can we do? Always trying to be a little innovative. And Pete is playing a little bit of a drop before we start the top of the hour intro music. And the one he just played was just the sound we had, the only play-by-play sound we had of one of Schwartz's kids hitting a double into the gap and only just the one kid on the bench going, go, go, go. I love just the empty sounds of Little League Baseball. Great pull by Pete. Now, we have plenty to get into this hour on the show. Is the Pac-12 paying for coverage of their league? Plus, in just a couple minutes, I want to get into the NFL's top 100 and how the heck Patrick Mahomes cannot be number one, which is just a farce. But I did want to get into something yesterday that just I cannot let this week finish with this story being swept under the rug because it is so bothersome to me. In the midst of the pandemic, in the midst of, you know, unity in this country and unifying, that there can still be one absolute and utter complete jerk when it comes to sports. And Bogus, that is our not friend Marlins man on the show. Look, if you've watched Major League Baseball, you've seen it, right? If you don't have empty seats, you have cardboard cutouts. But the best part about the fanless Major League Baseball is that Marlins man in his gaudy orange jersey and dumb visor hasn't been right behind home plate for all of these big games on national TV. That's honestly been the biggest win, Bogus, for me of the Major League Baseball season. His name is Lawrence Levy. He's a lawyer from Miami. He's been dubbed Marlins man, and he gets his nose involved into any big baseball game and then, you know, evolved. He's at the Final Four. He's at big college basketball events. And he's still always wearing that Marlins jersey. And I would also say, as a Marlins season ticket holder, how big a Marlin fan are you if you're always at everybody else's games and never at Marlin games himself? So he's been all over our TVs for years now. Years. With the same stupid jersey. Somebody at the Action Network decided they were going to interview Marlins man. Why? Because apparently we still have to feed this guy's ego and feed his attention that he has to be interviewed, Bogus. And of course, his interview absolutely freaking infuriated me. All right? And let me just give you a couple quotes and I'll let you comment. He did say he missed being at the games. I can understand that. I will actually give him that. I miss being at the games. A lot of us do, and that's a guy who goes to a lot of them, so I understand when that becomes part of your life, even if we are disgusted with seeing your dumb face and dumb visor, that you miss being at the games because you've made that a fabric. I don't miss you being at the games, Mr. Marlins man, but you do. So now, this guy has the nerve. The nerve, Bogish. The absolute nerve. To say, as far as cardboard cutouts go, he wasn't going to do a cardboard cutout. But, and this is a quote, but I've literally had hundreds of people reach out to me asking me where I am. He then decided, because apparently hundreds of people care about where Marlins man is reaching out to him, he has offered to pay every team up to $1,000, which is significantly more than what the cutouts are going for in a lot of these ballparks. Like, I think the Mets cutouts were about $85 at Citi Field.
86 for the World Series.
Okay, 86. So he's so desperate to have his cutout, not just, by the way, down the third baseline, not in left field, not in center field. No, no, no. He wants to be front and center in his behind home plate seat that he manages to get his way into for $1,000. Two teams have said yes and taken him up on the offer, Bogus. The Athletics and Royals have agreed to the offer. Boy, you talk about two franchises desperate for that money. They'll take that $1,000 from Marlins men, stick it right in their pocket. And how about two teams that give a lot of credit? So a lot of teams ghosted him so far, haven't answered. The Reds and Indians, both of Ohio's teams, have already said, no thanks, we're good. We don't need your $1,000 to have your stupid face sitting behind home plate. Ugh. So now Marlins man wants to sit behind home plate with a cardboard cutout. Can we just? The guy has no self-reflection, no ability to understand. He's not that important, Bogish. Marlins man is such a minuscule figure in the world, but he thinks he has so much self-importance that hundreds of people give a damn, give a you-know-what, give a rat's ass where he's been. Where he's been? He's been with the rest of us on the couch, not at Major League games. Why does he feel the need to go flash his money and go, I'll give you $1,000. Make sure my face is on a cardboard cutout behind a plate all over the country for every game. It's madness, Bogish.
I have talked you down from your Zion angst this morning. I tried to counter Jamal Adams being a fake and a fraud. I'm not holding you back here. This guy is just the worst. I need receipts on the hundreds of people who have asked him where he was. Because maybe those were like sarcastic questions that he thought were real ones, and he's misread this entire situation. Yes. I mean, it is a big country, and it's a worldwide internet. I mean, maybe there are hundreds of people who don't hate Marlins man, but I thought the consensus was pretty legit, that there was nobody on this guy's side wondering why he wasn't somehow involved in these baseball games or any other athletic event he's been to. So shame on the Action Network for talking to him. Shame on him for talking. Shame on those two teams for taking his money to make a cutout.
All right, Bogish, look, I believe that there are hundreds. In fact, I would actually say, based on the fact that he's been such a pillar of baseball behind the plate, I find it embarrassing that there's only hundreds, and he should take that as, you know, not tens of thousands aren't asking where you are. Because every single time we see him at these games, there's always those stupid fans that go up to him and go, I gotta get a picture of Marlins man. Oh, I gotta get a look, there's Marlins man. Look at me, I'm gonna put it on Instagram. I'm with can you believe I'm with that guy who wears the orange shirt at every game? Look at me, Mom. All right, give me 100 likes on Instagram. Those are the idiots asking Marlins man where he's been. And a lot of people will say Marlins man's very charitable. He's a nice man in person. He donates a lot of money. He's been through hard. He's a lawyer. He has money. So what? Who are we to tell him how to spend his money? That's fine. Maybe on a very personal level, if you sit down to a nice steak dinner with Marlins man and you talk to him, he might be a very nice man one-on-one. That doesn't change the fact that he is an egotistical look-at-me jerk in public. Because if he wasn't, if he just truly was about going to baseball games, traveling the country, wanting to spend his money and live his life nicely, live his life maybe better than some of us could ever dream, that's fine. But when he wears that orange jersey with the name Marlins man on the back to every game, that is a cry for help. That is a cry for desperation. That is the kid is a senior in high school whose high school crush didn't talk to him his whole life and is just begging to tap her on the shoulder and get noticed. He is a pathetic, pathetic man when he does it at every game. And then if you want to say, well, who are we to tell him what to do with his money? Obviously, he's a great guy. He's great charitable. He also had to point out in this interview, and this also makes me sick, because who gives a damn what he's doing with his money? Do you care, Bogus? And if anybody was taking a picture of Marlins Man, would you care what Marlins Man is doing with his money now that he's not traveling to games? But no, he feels like everybody cares, so he had to tell the Action Network what he's done. You want to take a guess? Have you read the story, Bogus? Do you know what he's done with his money?
I didn't get that far, no.
Okay, tell me if this makes you want to throw up. Unprovoked, he tells the Action Network. Since I haven't been going to games, I bought a Ferrari and I added 15 more racehorses.
Oh, but okay, good.
But it doesn't replace baseball, so I added a Ferrari to my Bentley and to my Mercedes, and I added 15 more racehorses to bring my total to 80. I don't like condoning violence. We talked about Joe Kelly throwing up and in. If I was granted legally the ability to take my hand open hand and slap somebody across the face without being arrested, it would be Marlins Man. In a year, where how many people have been laid off? How many people have been furloughed? How many small businesses have been shut down? How many people are worrying, are they going to be able to survive this another 3 months and keep putting food on the table? Can they continue to make their mortgage payments, to pay their rent? How can I avoid eviction? Oh no, is the economy going to come back? Will there be a job waiting for me, or will my company scale down? This guy, who's supposed to be the man of the people, flexes in an interview that he bought a Ferrari to add to his Bentley and his Mercedes and added 15 more racehorses to bring it to 80 racehorses. He is basically taking his loogies in his mouth and going and spitting in America's face. Marlins Man, here's $1,000. Please put my cutout behind me, because my Ferrari, 80 racehorses, my Bentley and Mercedes, as you're struggling to feed your two kids during a freaking pandemic, is what I need to hear about. And I know my line is popping because I'm getting loud. Marlins Man is a disgrace. He stinks. He's awful. And we need to stop giving this guy the attention. If you are one of the, quote, hundreds that have asked Marlins Man where the heck he has been during the pandemic at a cardboard cutout, you need a reality check on your life, because you're just as pathetic. This guy sucks. And the best part about baseball being here with no fans is we don't have to look at his dumb face. I hope Marlins Man gets banned from every ballpark. He's a look-at-me guy, and now he's flexing about how many cars he has and how many racehorses he has as America struggles to pay their next bills. Marlins Man is atrocious. Get him out. Get him out of our faces. And if you're the Action Network or you're any other publication that's desperate to do a story, stop talking to the guy. Stop giving him attention, because he absolutely stinks.
Get him out.
Get him out.
Take a deep breath.
Get
now, when you're ready, in your professional voice, I need you to say, I'm Sean Marash with your CBS Sports Minute, and then I'm Mraz. And then if Pete could just package those around a minute of that rant, you'll take one of my minutes off my plate today. I'd really appreciate that. So thank you in advance. That was really well done. I do have one quick follow-up question.
Sure.
Do you think Marlins Man, in his never-ending pursuit of self-promotion, do you think he ever went to, whether it's the Marlins holiday party, the holiday party for the law firm that he works at or owns, whatever it is, do you think he ever went to one of those parties, took off his Marlins jersey or his good suit, and then slid down the slide to the bottom floor of said holiday party? Do you think he ever did something like that?
Are you trying to say that me and Marlins Man are both look-at-me characters? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say that Marlins Man is Peter Schwartz and you are like Taylor in like a, not a size comparison, but the size of the look at me angle.
Here's the difference. I love when people look at me, and I do love attention. I go to 1,000 games, Bogus. I don't wear neon green hoping people beg and see my attention. And I also don't, in the midst of not being at work and not having people laugh with me, who I usually see on an everyday basis, I haven't gone and, you know, group chatted everybody to basically
put a pool in your backyard.
Right.
I'm just okay. Busting your chops, dude. I'm just busting your chops.
Do not compare me to Marlins Man. Do not. Bogus. I mean, literally.
In your Kenyon Martin jersey.
We have friends that have been laid off. We have listeners have been laid off. And he's talking about all the racehorses and Ferraris that had to fill his quench for not having baseball. And then wants to talk about what a people's person he is. He's a jerk. He's an absolute jerk.
Dude, he's horrible. He's horrible. Like I said, the teams that took his money should be ashamed of themselves. I mean, they really should. Not to overemphasize this or over-exaggerate it, but people shouldn't even pick up his calls. I mean, we've all had enough of Marlins, man. But I can't, your take that of him was perfect and vicious. I can't add anything to it. All I can do is poke you a little bit for shirtless slides at a holiday party. That's all.
All right. I'm going to take a couple minutes, take a deep breath. I know we had the Mahomes story to get to, and I'm sorry if I set things back.
Do those sports minute liners for me too here, so we can really get on that editing. Right. Since, you know, it's a lot to splice them together. So just do it real quick. 3, 2, and 1.
I'm Sean Morash. This is Mraz with your CBS Sports Minute. There you go.
Thank you.
That'll work.
Pete.
Yeah.
Head and tail those. Thanks, bud.
All right. When we come back, I don't know. I guess we're gonna get to the Mahomes story. We have the Pac-12. Marlins man now has done the thing where he's derailed the show, and we have Stundua news. College football fans, are you gonna want the old schedule back now that you're seeing conference only plus one? Hey, there's so much going on. Plus, if you're a hockey fan, Ron Duguay, longtime NHL veteran, is gonna join us next hour. We have your target demo. We have your epic fail. The madness continues. Sports are here, and Marlins man's inserting himself. It's the DA show. Trucking along next on CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Don't say I always listen to my mother. I'm not listening to my mother. Told me to bring up the clothes that were folded downstairs to all the bedrooms. Guess who didn't do it? Me. Because I'm a man and I don't listen to my mother. I'm a man. You don't tell me to bring up clothes that were folded for other people in the house. No way. You let them sit on that couch. I don't have a guest book the rest of the week. How about I give her some numbers? You go book a guest, Mom. How about that?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's an Ask the Pros Day. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It's Bogus. It's Mraz. It's the DA show on CBS Sports Radio. DA be back with us on Monday. The band back together. Dan Shaughnessy going to be on the show Monday morning. Should have a lot of fun recapping the first jam-packed weekend of sports that we've had. Bogus, before we get into all the other madness I tease, we got your latest sports update.
Oh, do we, Sean? This one has a sponsor for the first time today, and it's Ace Hardware. This Saturday only, which is tomorrow, you can pick up a free sample of Benjamin Moore paint at your local Ace. Offer valid August 1st for Ace Rewards members, limit one, at participating stores while supplies last. Oh, hey, Jim. Interrupting my Joe Ingles toss. I thought we were better friends than that. Joe Ingles with 13 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals in his long-awaited return to an NBA court. And thanks to Brandon Ingram and an unkind rim, Ingles and the Jazz also winners last night at Disney World.
Ingram, right wing. 3 seconds left. Step back, 3, right wing. No! And that's it. It went halfway down and out. We went for the win. It did everything but drop.
It'll probably be okay. Todd Graffanini on Pels Radio. Utah holding on for the 106-104 final. Zion had 13 points in 15 minutes. The Pelicans put it safe since he had to leave the bubble. Zion watched the final 7 minutes of that game from the bench. Then the Lakers outfought the Clippers 103-101. LeBron scored the game winner with 12 seconds left, then harassed Paul George into a miss at the buzzer. Anthony Davis scored 34 as the Lakers got even closer to the top seed in the West. They have a 6.5 game lead on those Clips with 7 to play. The Phillies are now off the field through Sunday like the Marlins. One coach and one home clubhouse attendant came back positive in the last round of COVID testing. The Jays were supposed to be in Philly this weekend. Now they're hanging in D.C., waiting on instructions from Major League Baseball. All of these postponements and the ones that'll come for whatever reason still over the course of this season will lead to doubleheaders. So MLB and the union have agreed that those double dips will be 7 innings each. And staying off the field, the league and union also agreeing on new rules for punishing teams and players for electronically stealing signs. One of the new policies is that clubhouse TVs can only show game feeds that do not ID pitches or show catcher signals If that's not available, those TVs can show the regular broadcast, but on a delay. As for the games last night, the Padres scored 6 in the 10th to win in San Francisco 12-7, the Dodgers 6, the Diamondbacks 3, the Red Sox a 4-2 win at the Mets, and the Yankees beat the Orioles again 8-6 in Baltimore. That is 18 in a row head-to-head, 17 in a row in Baltimore. And Connor, because he is better at everyone's job than everyone else's, let me know, Sean, that the O's did take 2 of 3 from the Yankees in their first series last September. So they did not sweep all of last season with the O's, but they won the last, I think it's 16 meetings then, and now these first two meetings this year, and 17 games, one in a row down in Baltimore. The SEC has chosen a 10-game conference-only football schedule. It'll begin on September 26th. The Philadelphia Union, a 3-1 win over Sporting KC to reach the Final Four at the MLS tourney at Disney. And from the WNBA, the Sparks topped the Sun 81-76, and the Lynx got by the Sky 83-81. And I believe now, for the last time this week, we get stunned. Let's go.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
And this one today comes from in-house, sent to me by the Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, and it hits on two of our favorite, arguably our two most favorite topics, Florida man and dumb criminals. David T. Yes. Hines owns moving companies in Florida. During the shutdown, he received a nearly $4 million loan from the Federal Paycheck Protection Program for those companies and for his employees. But instead of funding paychecks for them, that $4 million allegedly funded a $300,000 Lamborghini, other shopping sprees, stays at fancy hotels. So on Monday, Mr. Hines was arrested for making false statements to a lending institution, bank fraud, and engaging in transactions in unlawful proceeds. His lawyer shockingly defends him. I mean, again, you're getting $4 million from the government in a good idea to help your workers and your company. And not only do you not apparently give it to your employees, but you allegedly have the you-know-whats to buy a lime green $318,000 Lamborghini when your bank accounts were in negative numbers before this $4 million came your way. I mean, this guy can't go to jail long enough.
Yeah, I mean, this is where people absolutely suck. And I just, you know, kind of made that ran about Marlins, man, and tied it into everything that the country has gone through and that regular people have gone through. And I got people fighting with me on Twitter going, well, you understand that people are getting more on unemployment. Nobody was suffering here. Look, there are plenty of people that suffered here. Even if you were getting that more money, a lot of times that didn't even add up to the salary you should have been getting in some places. And some people still couldn't even get through to unemployment. So if you, as a business owner, got $4 million and part of it was supposed to go to your employees and you basically thumb your nose at that and go buy a gross lime green, what was it, a Lamborghini? I'm losing track between what.
Yeah.
By the way, is this Marlins, man? I feel like they're making the same purchases.
Is it his son? I don't know.
Yeah, it's so gross. It's so awful. And this is where we just suck as people. If you're one of these people and you get $4 million and you're this guy and the cops have arrested you. By the way, this isn't even the only story like this that's come out from pandemic with people getting these advances on pay. What are you doing, honestly? And also, can you be a little more discreet, even if you are going to screw over your employees, and even if you are going to take this money, you want to spend it on yourself? I don't know, man. Maybe buying a lime green sports car isn't the best way to go about it. I could deal with one or two nights in a fancy hotel, treat yourself as a boss, something like that. It's wrong, but I could at least deal with it. But going out of your way to buy something that everybody's going to notice all of a sudden you got in the midst of this, I mean, have a clue. How do you think you're not going to get caught?
Yeah, I mean, and not to get too far down the road away from our normal conversation, but, you know, it appears that he has also swindled the government, not just in spending this money the way he did allegedly, but also in the fact that he completely oversold the size and the needs of his companies to get $4 million. So,
right.
You know, this program, which has at its heart a good idea and has done some good work, has also, because we brought it up in the past where, you know, the Lakers got a loan and then gave it back. Other huge entities which didn't seem to qualify as small businesses who needed to be let off this financial hook got money. This guy lied, allegedly, took the money, and then went nuts. I mean, dating websites, hotel stays, food delivery, Ubers and Lyfts. I mean, he just, this was his income, but for all intents and purposes. And it wasn't even baited. They're actually, I mean, I guess one, the one good thing is, Sean, there weren't as many people as we thought that he might have not given their paychecks right to, because everything was exaggerated. But still, I mean, I wish there was a way to tack on punishment just for being extra crappy. Like, on top of the law books and what the statutes say and what precedent says, if you know, whether you're just an idiot or you're like this and just completely soulless, I wish we could surcharge a punishment somehow.
Yeah, yeah, these are the worst kind of guys that, yeah, they may not be murdering anybody, but they still certainly deserve more than enough jail time when you absolutely screw people over in a world where we just should stop doing that. And that is your stun to a news. Oh, God, so much anger. It was such a good day, you know? It was such a good day. Marlins man has me full tilt. So we're going to get into plenty of the college football stuff next segment. I do have a question about all the scheduling, as you've been alluding to, with the SEC now and the ACC, and we will talk about the Pac-12 and their funny business going on. But I did want to bring up this NFL Top 100 list that the NFL does every year that is voted for. We are believed to trust the NFL Network here, and we should, that the peers vote on this. And they compile a list, and you get to the Top 100. Now, full disclosure, I'm going to compare this the only way I know how to in-house with the DA show. We, every year, have the entire staff of the show vote on the 12 DAs. And there is kind of a sabermetrics analytics approach to it where, you know, the least, you know, if you vote something number one, then you vote something number 10, I kind of add up the numbers. So let's say Bogus found a number to be number 9, and I found something to be number 2. And then Pete found it to be number 3. We add up that number. And basically, like golf, the lowest scores for, and you have to be eligible if everybody has 5 votes and it's obviously eligible in the top 12. You get my drift. The lowest score wins, right? And that's how we rank them. But there is a little moving around that goes. And I hate to blow the cover off 12 DAs, but if the top 4 moments all happen to be me saying something stupid I should have learned at school, we don't want that to just be 1 through 4. We will find a way to, you know, slide something else in here just to give it a little separation, almost like a Major League Baseball order would, for separating stuff lefty-righty, lefty-righty. Did I explain that properly on the 12 DAs, Bogus?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So the NFL 100 is supposed to be a straight list voted on by the peers. Okay, you know, most number of votes, number one, down the line. I have a hard time reading this top 5 and think that there wasn't anything done here for dramatic purposes or to get us, people like us, talking about it and people buzzing, because otherwise it's just a list. And the reason I say that is this list comes out, we get to the top 10, and to me, there should be no question on earth who the number one player is, even if it's not the league MVP, who was Lamar Jackson. The number one football player on earth, and frankly, skyrocketing if he's not already there, the number one athlete in the United States, is Patrick Mahomes. Yet, Patrick Mahomes was voted number four, behind Lamar Jackson at 1, and even if that was for debate because he was the league MVP and that's why you put him 1, that's one thing, and Aaron Donald and Russell Wilson ahead of Mahomes. Bogus, how is it possible that not only was Patrick Mahomes not number one, that he's voted as the 3rd best quarterback amongst his peers? I find that incredibly hard to believe.
It's impossible, Sean, and I hate lists for a number of reasons. One of them is I have a terrible memory, so for me to make a list of the best this and the best that, it's just not something I'm good at. But they're all just usually they're just a waste of time because whatever reason, they're flawed. So I don't want to get worked up about this, but I mean, there are a couple of things that should be obvious on an NFL best whatever list. That Patrick Mahomes, at worst, is number 2. If somehow Lamar Jackson eked him out because he was MVP last year and he was great for 16 regular season games and you didn't want to hold the postseason against him, I would probably live with that. I don't understand how Mahomes is anything worse than number 2 on any list ranking any football players. And again, I don't want to be bothered by this, but this has been, what, 3 days, I think? This has kind of been out there.
Yes.
And I keep seeing it, and they, and then, you know, Travis Kelce weighs in, somebody else weighs in, and it, like, re-fires the anger that I just don't get how you could have him. And four is not bad in general, but he's not the fourth right. best player in the NFL.
And I do want to make it clear, for those of you who might be listening to this segment who watch the NFL Top 100 Revealing, you might go, guys, this is 2 days old. Why are you talking about it? I truthfully, when DA was off Thursday, Friday, we were looking ahead. With all the sports starting and basketball starting and the Joe Kelly suspension, honestly, this story didn't interest me at first. And it was something I just like, okay, it's a list. But as the days have gone on and more people have commented, like you brought up Travis Kelce, I now am being dragged into this. And part of the reason I didn't want to bring it up is because it almost felt like Patrick Mahomes was for this reason, to get people talking about this list. It's asinine. It's asinine. The NFL Network does an awesome job with these shows. And if you're telling me straight that this wasn't done for TV purposes, then I really have to do a question. Is there jealousy amongst NFL players about Patrick Mahomes' rise to stardom? That's the only other explanation for this. So is Patrick Mahomes amongst his peers not as liked as we think, that we're going to jump Lamar Jackson, Aaron Donald, and Russell Wilson ahead of him? I mean, the guy's the face of the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more likely that it was configured for drama to have people talk about it for 3 days to get some pub for the list and for the show. I think that's more likely than there being a weird underlying small-scale Mahomes backlash. Also, too, I mean, what we've learned between these lists and all-star voting is that players don't necessarily know what they're talking about, even though they're players. True. I mean, Russell Wilson gets votes just because somebody probably has always voted Russell Wilson, so they just leave the list the way they are, or, you know, they hand this off to somebody else. You know, you send it to whomever, LeSean McCoy, who's in the news because he signed with the Bucks. You know, LeSean McCoy gets this ballot or whatever it is and, like, gives it to a buddy. Or maybe, like, his son fills it out and his son loves Russell Wilson. So, like, he puts Russell Wilson there. So there's all these different things that make these lists by themselves. Like, again, they're clearly not anywhere close to being scientific. But then they lead to nonsense like this. And I had the same reaction as you. I saw it. I'm like, this is why lists are dumb. But then it kept coming up and coming up, like forcing me to be angry about it, that somehow Mahomes ended up at number four on this silly, silly list.
Unbelievable. But there you have it. Is Lamar? So what do you think? Is Mahomes viewed that way amongst his peers or done for drama by TV? At Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogish. And remember, Facebook.com/TheDA Show has your target demo today. Twitch has it as well. Let Kaplan know as he's running the Twitch page how you're listening, what you're doing, listening. Same thing on our Twitters. We'll get that going at the end of the show in about an hour from now. When we come back, though, one conference might have to be paying for attention, or have they paid for attention? Pretty pathetic if so. Plus, the college football scheduling. Are we ever going to want to go back if the season goes off the way the schedule now appears for some of these conferences? We break it all down next. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I gotta get a picture of Marlins fan. I gotta get a fuck this Marlins fan. Look at me. I'm gonna put it on Instagram. I'm with Marlins. Can you believe I'm with that guy who wears the orange shirt at every game? Look at me, Mom. All right, give me 100 likes on Instagram.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Pete's on fire today, Bogish. Pete's on fire today. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit Geico.com to learn more.
Are you okay?
Oh,
well, Pete will stay on fire because he just got that sound effect out of you as well.
You
okay there?
I'm losing oxygen. You know, the Marlins man ran, put me down, man. I'm losing oxygen at a clip here in the worst way. Oh,
yeah.
Brutal.
And dressed the way you are today in your too big Kenyon Martin jersey, you do look like the Jersey/Brooklyn/Long Island version of the Bears, guys, especially just then when you were pounding your chest without any breath. So please, just hang in there. We got an hour or so to go. After that, you can do whatever you want.
Oh, well, Bogus, thank you. The Pac-12, by the way, is very, very pathetic if reports are true. Yesterday, story comes down. So just to paint the picture of the Pac-12 came out with the Pac-12 networks, and it's still to the point where a lot of the big places and distributors of television throughout the West Coast still don't have the Pac-12 network. So there's
growing frustration.
Throughout the
country, like DirecTV doesn't have it, which has been a right. huge battle.
Right, exactly. So if you have DirecTV and you're out west and your team's on the Pac-12 network, you might be screwed, basketball-wise, football-wise, you know, the whole deal. Larry Scott of the Pac-12 understands this, understands it's been very embarrassing. The Pac-12 also has been put in a situation where football-wise, they kind of often get overlooked, I guess, in the college football playoff, even though Washington made it a couple of years ago. They are always that they have to fight a little extra harder than the SEC, Big Ten, ACC. And then basketball-wise, they had an atrocious year a year ago where they only basically got the one team in. So the Pac-12 has really been pathetic for a couple of years for one of the Power Five major conferences. They were so worried, apparently, in 2018 about the perception that they apparently had hired a crisis management firm, and they figured out what they would do to try to get attention, and apparently part of this was they were going to pay for some positive attention from outlets and reporters, mainly which the Los Angeles Times, the Players Tribune was also in there as well. Los Angeles Times, a big freaking media conglomerate newspaper in this country. And they wanted to, quote, expand upon their media partnerships and basically pay to influence the media that they were paying to say positive things about the Pac-12. Now, in a he said, she said divisive country that we are, where everybody doesn't trust the media, this, on a sports scale, certainly doesn't help matters with that, Bogish, when we basically have this uncovered that, yeah, the media in some ways, even if it's a smaller scale like sports, can absolutely be influenced if money comes their way.
Yeah, if everything happened the way the Oregonian lays it all out, the Pac-12, like, redirected sponsorship money to the LA Times, which then allowed the LA Times to fund basically the salary of a reporter who then was fed stories, you know, quote unquote legitimate stories. It wasn't like it was, you know, straight propaganda, but like they were doing things and covering events that they wouldn't have ever normally covered without this,
right,
like indirect funding. And all of it was to make the Pac-12 look better and get it some attention. Although I don't know why they chose, with all due respect, unless they thought this is how they were going to cover their tracks, like, you'd think you'd want to sell me on the big boys, like, sell me about basketball and football. But they were, like, writing stories about water polo and, like, like Olympic sports, which, like, I mean, I don't know how huge the audience was for that to be reading anyway. But
right,
no matter what, and there's nobody did anything right here. Nobody was, like, swindled or didn't know what they were doing. The LA Times should be just as ashamed of itself as the Pac-12 should be if all
sure
of these things are true, because this is not how journalism goes. And even the story says that there have been multiple issues brought up by other LA Times employees about this arrangement, but it existed for a while. They've confirmed it. They've been backed off of their statements here. Now people, some people who were speaking on the record now aren't speaking on the record anymore. So I mean, it's just a terrible look for the Pac-12, who has had some things go against it that are not their fault. Other things, it is the conference's fault, and they put themselves in position to need to do something this drastic. But I can't believe that they did it, and I can't believe they found somebody like legitimately to help them with it. I mean, This would make somewhat more sense if the Pac-12 had a bad idea to do something like this, and then had to find like andrewbogish.blogspot.com, and all of a sudden make me into this, you know, the preeminent Pac-12 Olympic sport insider. Like all of a sudden, you to Peter Schwartz, I was to Pac-12 rowing and sailing and whatever. But they got to the LA Times and the Players Tribune.
Yeah.
And like they hired someone to help kind of ghostwrite posts from players that went on the Players Tribune to make them sound better, more professional, older. I don't know what the exact purpose was. But I mean, they went all in and they got two reputable organizations to join them in this sham of coverage.
So here is where I believe the Los Angeles Times should absolutely be ashamed of itself. And you alluded to this, as the Pac-12 is embarrassing enough. But you're the LA Times, right? When you think, you know, West Coast publications, the LA Times is the big deal. Pac-12 came to you, right? Not even looking, as you pointed out, necessarily, hey, make sure you keep pumping up good Marcus Mariota stories and how, you know, basically the football program could produce great players and we need to be in the playoff, like Olympic sports and such. If you're the LA Times and you get pushed this deal, right, and you get offered this money, and I'm assuming you have to sign a non-disclosure once you take it or whatever happened there. To me, if I'm running the LA Times, look at this and go, I think it's much more worthy for me to now print a front page story talking about how the Pac-12 is trying to buy people out to have positive. Like, you are the publication that should be uncovering that story, not the publication that's taking that money and having the Oregonian break this story 2 years later. I think if you're the LA Times, I think it would have been much more worth it to you instead of having a guy paid for to go cover water polo to basically put the Pac-12 on blast and make them look foolish. There's no reason the LA Times shouldn't have done that. Why was it so much more worth it to them to collect this money? It made no sense. You're the LA Times.
Yeah. Both of them. You're right. I mean, both of them should have never been anywhere near this. This idea should have died in whatever meeting it came up in from the Pac-12 and its crisis manager. And even shy of turning it into its own expose at the LA Times, I mean, you just have to say no to this. But I will point out, too, that before I read about this story, there was a story last week about the LA Times, too, that there's infighting as well over journalistic decisions surrounding Arash Markazi, who might have even been a guest on this show, who's a sports writer but has kind of delved into more celebrity pop culture things and has allegedly misrepresented stuff and has maybe written kind of puffy pieces on Vegas hotels and casinos that he has relationships with. So there's at least now two instances where the LA Times may or may not have sold its soul to the devil in a very bad time for newspapers where they need every last dime. And it's caused this divide within the organization where you have old school journalists or even people who are young and new but believe in the values of the profession and are filing HR requests and are whispering to other outlets to give them stories about two different ways the LA Times may be kind of compromising itself here. It's a terrible look from top to bottom.
Yeah, it's terrible for the Pac-12, and we're still awaiting their official football word and stuff. And I just on that quick tie-in, something else I did want to bring up. The SEC is going to a 10-game conference-only schedule. I saw Stuart Mandel, who's covered college football for a long time, bring up a good point. You know, the ACC is going conference-only plus one. They wanted the SEC to do the same. And basically we're going to do without these games that are, you know, 55-3 blowouts by a conference team. And I think that is really going to, you know, quench the thirst of college football fans. Two-parter here, Bogish. Number one, if you were to ask me 2 weeks ago, are we having a college football season, I would have laughed you off the planet and said, there's no way at this point, unless we do it in the spring. I mean, how many times do we do it? The way these conferences keep introducing stuff, especially the SEC waiting till late September, I'm starting to feel like they're going to plow through here and figure out a way to do this, and it's going to look weird and it's going to look clunky, but I think you're going to get college football in the fall, if you ask me today. And number two, I don't know if you're a college football fan how you watch these teams play conference only and do away with all of these games and ever want to go back to the way it was, other than maybe a plus one with another big-time power conference team. I think the days of paying, you know, Florida A&M $1 million to come get their tuchus kicked by you in your house might be ending after this year. I really do believe that.
I'll start there first. I, you know, those games though fund other programs and other conferences. So I don't, and coaches like doing the favor of paying somebody else to take that butt whooping. And in a setup that doesn't have actual preseason games, a lot of those week one games are meant to be a tune-up before a real game. Now, that has changed in recent years. There's more and more high-level opening week matchups, but I think some of those games, to a certain extent, still serve a purpose. I don't know that they're going to go away just off of this, because then that's killing the the bottom half, yes, of Division I football, and I don't know that we're there just yet. To your first point, I don't read these decisions the same way. I don't think that them deciding how they would play if they could and telling us about it in any way changes the likelihood of there being football. I mean, they could have just kept dragging their feet, but like they just, and you know, all the SEC said yesterday was, we're playing 10 games only amongst ourselves. You'll play the eight schools you were already scheduled to play, and then we'll fill in the other two spots. The ACC did give us, I think, if not a full schedule, but some kind of like fancy table. The SEC had provided almost no details. So, I mean, it's all of this is a framework. All of it's designed to be messed with, to be canceled, to be flipped, to be rearranged. So I would not let my optimism go up at all because they're saying these things now, because they just, it's prudent to have a plan if it can happen. But it doesn't mean that all of a sudden they're more assured of playing games. Right. I don't think there's been a sea change in that. They're just having them there so we know what teams can do if the are able to actually do it.
Will there be a college football season? At Mraz CBS, at Andrew Bogus. When we come back, of course, we have your Target Demo Friday still to come. Lakers, Clippers, where do they stand in the Western hierarchies? The Lakers conference to lose, and the Stanley Cup playoffs begin tomorrow. Ron Duguay will join us. The DHO powers on next on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.